This podcast is to help you understand the risks and benefits of using a Cyton erbium laser. Now, the Cyton erbium laser, which is oftentimes also referred to as a jewel or a contour laser, uses a wavelength that is very attracted to the water underneath the surface of your skin. This laser is also referred to as what's called an ablative laser, which means when it finds that target of water under the skin, it's going to vaporize it. So we use this ability to vaporize some of the water that's in the deep layers of the skin to help smooth the skin and also build collagen for younger and smoother appearing skin. Now, I like using analogies to help you understand exactly what we're doing with the laser. Say you want your front yard to look better and you're looking out over your grass. Well, one thing that you can do for a better appearing front lawn is mow the grass. So everything seems to be at the same level, and that makes it look really nice. So micro laser peel and resurfacing are full field ablations where basically we're trying to make the surface of the skin more level, just like mowing your lawn. Now we can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's where we turn from micro laser peel over to resurfacing. It's generally the same thing. We're just talking about different depths. Profractional is like aerating your lawn. So it doesn't look great right when you aerate your lawn, but by drilling those channels deeper into your grass, it allows for the grass to grow back in these areas and make the lawn more lush. So that's what the profractional portion is doing to your skin. So we have found that the best results are a combination of the two. You mow and you aerate your grass. One is evening the surface. The other is plumping those deep layers of skin to make it more healthy and more youthful. So the profractional is also something that helps decrease the appearance of pores a little bit more and is really what we're using to remodel the deeper acne scars. Now, we've learned a lot about lasers over the past couple of decades, generally by trial and error, and our paradigm has kind of changed. We used to use a very aggressive laser called a CO2 or carbon dioxide laser, and that worked great at taking care of wrinkles. There was a lot of heat that was generated in the skin and when it was attracted to the water, but there was a lot of collateral damage. So we saw, unfortunately, lots of scarring with this laser and loss of permanent pigment to the skin called hypopigmentation. And you may have some friends or have seen some people who've had this where the areas that their skin was treated more deeply, it's essentially more of a white color and you may see lines of demarcation. So we prefer not to do that these days. We would rather treat you multiple times with less intensity. And the beauty of the Cyton laser is that we don't have to use heat where we don't want heat, but we can add some heat or what's called coag to areas where we want to tighten that skin. So that's generally going to be in areas like around the eyelids, where adding some heat in this area can cause some really nice tightening of that skin. We can then avoid it in areas where we don't want it, like in darker skin tone patients, or around the mouth, where we need to go pretty deep to get through those deep wrinkles. But we don't have to add a lot of heat, which causes a lot of collateral damage and ruins some of the nice and normal things about your skin. There are definitely limitations to what we can achieve with a laser, especially in areas like the neck and the chest. These areas do not have the same sebaceous glands, which provide a lot of healing capacity. So we are always going to treat the neck and chest skin much more lightly than we can on the face. We also know that we would rather under-treat rather than over-treat people to help decrease the risk of complications. So what this means is there may be a series of treatments that gives you the best result rather than just one. We also see tremendous variations in each patient's ability to heal. People who have more oily and more sebaceous or waxy skin are generally going to heal faster than patients who have drier and more of a parchment or thin texture to their skin. You will maximize your results on these if your skin is well hydrated at the time of your treatment. So remember to be using things like moisturizers and hyaluronics topically, drinking lots of water before you come in for your laser, because the more water that's in your skin, you are going to get a more aggressive treatment, but you're also going to get better healing. The first time we treat a patient, a portion of this treatment is really diagnostic to see how much can we push it and how fast are you going to heal. The other part of this is that we do want to see a significant change, but we're not really sure who you are as an individual unless you've been treated multiple times. For patients that have deeper and more severe wrinkling, you're not going to see a resolution of these wrinkles with one laser. If you have severe wrinkling, we might get you down to moderate wrinkling after the first treatment, and then from there to more mild wrinkles. You're not going to see a huge jump in one treatment. We hope that the changes you do see, you're going to be extremely happy with. But we do want to err on the side of safety and caution when treating patients until we really get a sense of how your skin is going to respond. Now, the only real absolute contraindication to lasering with the Cyton Erbium laser are patients who've been taking Accutane. Accutane is going to markedly slow the healing process, and it's contraindicated to have been on Accutane for a minimum of 9 months to a year prior to any laser resurfacing. The Cyton company prefers to say a year. You may hear 6 months from some dermatologists that are a little braver. In our practice, we prefer that patients be off for a year before they have surgical procedures or especially laser procedures where this can cause the most complications. Now, there are risks with pretty much anything we ever do, and I'm going to go over the risks that are more specifically geared towards considering a laser profractional, micro laser peel, or resurfacing procedure. So you will expect to see some bleeding, and the more red your skin is at the time of your appearance, if you've got those little vessels towards the surface, you're going to bleed even more, and that's especially during the profractional portion of your laser, and that's normal. We will apply some Aquaphor directly following the procedure, and that blood's going to mix with that Aquaphor, and you're going to look really, really scary. After you take your first shower, a lot of that blood is just going to rinse off with the Aquaphor, and you're not going to see a lot of bleeding after that. Now, you may abrade your skin a little bit while you're cleaning or just with the natural something touching your skin. So you may see touches of bleeding after that first few hours following the procedure, but generally there's no significant blood loss, and this is more scary than it is dangerous. So with laser procedures, there's also the risk of infection. And what we're mostly worried about are viral infections. And that's the herpes virus that causes cold sores, which are so commonly found around the mouth. So most patients who carry the herpes virus actually don't know. So we prophylax all patients, whether they've ever had a cold sore or not, with an antiviral such as Valtrex or Acyclovir starting the day before the procedure. We also have you take it the day of the procedure and continue it until your skin is essentially healed. If you have more frequent cold sore outbreaks, we may use higher doses or longer treatment times. So in order to avoid a viral outbreak, it's important to use this viral prophylaxis by taking Valtrex starting one day prior to the procedure, the day of the procedure, and continuing it until your skin is healed or your prescription is gone. It still could occur that you have a viral outbreak, but it's significantly less likely. We are much less concerned about bacterial infections, but this can also occur. And the best way for you to help avoid a bacterial infection is to keep your skin clean during the healing process. So taking a wet gauze when you're in the shower and gently wiping away the old Aquaphor and then replacing with fresh when you come out is one way to decrease the bacterial load on the skin. You can also put a little vinegar in the soaks that you're doing on your skin during that early healing time, which can also not only be soothing, but be helpful in decreasing bacterial counts. In general, we do not treat patients with antibiotics unless they could potentially have evidence of a bacterial infection later, which at the time of recording this, we've never seen. Now, when we do a laser, we're basically burning your skin, but we could potentially go too deep and cause some scarring. Now, the scarring, if it's on someplace where the skin can pull, it could distort some features like your lower eyelids and pull that down a little bit. So we do need to be very careful, especially with patients who have pre-existing very weak or laxed lower lids. The lasering could also, it sounds scary, we've never seen it and we don't intend to, start a fire. So anytime we use a laser, we take special precautions, first to protect the surrounding areas and also decrease oxygen when we're in the operating room. And it's a smart thing you can do is not have a lot of hairspray or products that may contain a lot of alcohol in your hair when you come in to have your laser done. Now, you should expect to see a lot of color changes to your skin during the healing process. The first is redness, and everybody's going to experience some form of redness. If you're having a really mild laser, you probably will see this for up to like a week or two following your procedure. If you're having a more aggressive resurfacing, you would likely see some redness for up to 3 months afterwards, and that would be considered completely normal. Also, lots of patients present with hyperpigmentation, which is like the freckling and dark areas of your skin. While this laser is not specifically geared towards correcting that hyperpigmentation, the skin prep that you start before should definitely start to improve this. Using hydroquinone-containing skincare products and Retin-A are going to be treating the deeper layers of skin to reduce the pigment that's present in those deeper layers and also the potential for increasing pigmentation following your laser procedure. Patients that have light-colored skin may want to be on this skin prep of hydroquinone, which is most commonly in Obagi Clear and Blender, and also in Triluma, as well as Retin-A. Now, Triluma does have Retin-A already in it, as well as a little bit of steroid. So for fair-complected patients, 2 weeks of a skin prep is usually adequate. If you've got darker skin types, 4 to 6 weeks is preferred. So once your laser is performed, you would expect your skin to be red, and as you heal, you're at much higher risk for developing more hyperpigmentation as a response to that irritation. You can guarantee if you get sun exposure within a few weeks to a few months after your procedure, that hyperpigmentation can increase. It can take just a few hours of being in the sun on one day, or even maybe even less than a few hours, to stimulate more hyperpigmentation. So after your procedure, it's extremely, extremely important that you avoid sun exposure for at least a month after a mild procedure and up to 3 months after a more aggressive lasering. Now, you might also see something called hypopigmentation, and what that is a whitening to the skin. So your skin's going to appear more fair or lighter once we get the hyperpigmentation off. But if we do very aggressive lasering, and again, we learned this from our old CO2 lasers that were done a decade ago, that there can be some permanent whitening of the skin called hypopigmentation. So what the darkening or hyperpigmentation is, generally you can expect that this is only a temporary situation that can be corrected. But hypopigmentation is a long-term result. You're not generally going to see this in a time frame less than probably 9 months to a year, and that can be a permanent color change. Now, the beauty of the Cyton Erbium laser in even the resurfacing mode is that this is extremely rare. If you've had previous deep phenol peels, dermabrasion, or CO2 lasering in the past, you may see your previous hypopigmentation very early after your erbium laser. So while your face is red in the first few months after having had this erbium laser, if you have had these previous procedures, you may see some patches of white coming through that are actually your old hypopigmentation, not something that we've created now. So again, even though hypopigmentation is exceedingly rare, the way we avoid these complications is by doing less aggressive treatments more often. Hyperpigmentation is at risk after any type of chemical peel, light treatment, or laser resurfacing, and the best way to avoid this is using good skincare, including hydroquinone and Retin-A, judicious use of your sunscreen, and remember that this needs to be reapplied every 2 hours if you're in the sun, and also add a physical barrier such as a hat or a visor. If you develop severe hyperpigmentation following your procedure, there are other things that you can do to help speed the resolution of this. But we typically avoid anything aggressive in the first month after your laser because we can only make matters worse. So after reinstituting your regular skincare, we may do some superficial peels, some microdermabrasion, or some light treatments called broadband light to help reduce that hyperpigmentation and get your skin in better shape faster. Patients who have lasering may also see lines of demarcation to where their laser stopped. We don't typically see this with patients having just profractional, but with deeper resurfacing or deeper micro laser peels, you may notice this. And the patients that are probably at greatest risk are those that are having lasering at the time of their facelift, because in the lateral cheek area and in the neck, these are areas we need to avoid for safety reasons. Now, after you've healed up, a few months after your facelift, you can go ahead and treat those more peripheral portions of your skin in your face and in your neck, but for safety reasons, we're not going to go to this area at the same time as your facelift. The settings that we use in the neck are also going to be very conservative, so we'll blend from the face down into the neck, but you may have to treat your neck area more often to see the same kind of result you're going to see in the face rather than having us treat it more aggressively because the neck is a high-risk area for scarring. Allergic reactions called contact dermatitis are also very common following laser procedures because the barrier that really protects your deeper layers of skin has been removed. So you might find yourself being extremely sensitive to things like perfumes, additives in lotions, shampoos. So the best way to avoid an allergic reaction is to limit exposure to some of the additives in your laundry soap and in your hair care products. You can very safely wash your hair with baby shampoo during the time while your skin is healing, in that period of time when it's more raw to when it's healed over. You might also want to use headbands to keep your hair off your face and to use linens, towels, and clothing that have been washed in either Tide Free or run through a second wash cycle without soap in it, and avoid fabric softeners in the dryer. Most of the time where we see people starting to get very itchy is when their skin has healed, but they're continuing to use Aquaphor, which is a Vaseline-type product, on their skin well past the time they need it. So while the area around your mouth or the area around your eyes may take a little bit longer, but if you're still gooping up lots of Aquaphor on your cheeks, this may start causing some itching and irritation. The first thing you want to do is start applying topical hydrocortisone cream, which is just like Cordaid from the grocery store. If there's an ointment available with the over-the-counter hydrocortisone, go ahead and use some of that. Now, don't get confused. I'm not saying hydroquinone. I'm saying hydrocortisone. Hydrocortisone is a topical steroid, and it's a very low dose that's available at the grocery store, and that's what you should start applying multiple times the day that you start feeling the itching. You can also take antihistamines orally, like Benadryl, Claritin, or Zyrtec. Now, within 24 hours, if you do not see a marked decrease in this itching and the rash-like appearance of your skin, you let us know, because we can also prescribe prescription-strength topical steroids and oral steroids to knock this out much quicker. The last thing we want you to do is be scratching and scratching this delicate healing skin. Now, when you have a good laser on your skin, it's going to get rid of a lot of the barnacles and discolorations and irregularities on the surface of the skin. And what may happen is some of these little skin lesions are going to get vaporized and removed. Typically, this is not a deep enough laser to remove skin cancers. And once we've cleared up your skin and it looks more even complected, those remaining lesions could be some bad actors that require some attention. So having good lasers laser care to your skin may actually reveal some underlying skin cancers. It's important to realize that the laser didn't cause these skin cancers. It just allows you to make the diagnosis easier. And we've seen this multiple times over the years. So then those cancers can be treated accurately. You'll also expect to see a visible skin pattern on your skin, especially with deeper profractionals, because the profractional is a dot matrix pattern on your skin. So especially in maybe the forehead area or around where you have some acne scars, where maybe we went deeper with the profractional, you'll see this little pattern in the skin. It seems counterintuitive, but retreating the area is actually what makes this better. So if several months have gone by and you can still see that pattern, we may do a lighter profractional in the same area to help minimize the appearance of this pattern. So again, for all patients, the patterns are extremely common to see right away after a procedure, and they should get much better as time goes by. If there's still a residual pattern, say 4 to 6 months later, if you're interested, you could retreat the area with more profractional to help that look better. Now, we're going to see people across a spectrum as to how they heal, and there's always going to be patients who are very poor healers. You can pretty much always lump smokers into any procedure as being a poor healer. If you've also had some aggressive previous treatments, such as CO2 laser resurfacing in the past or phenol peels, you may not heal as quickly or as smoothly as some other patients who haven't had these procedures performed. Now, it does hurt to do this procedure, and there will be some pain if you're awake while you're having this done. And generally, for the first about 45 minutes afterwards, it's pretty uncomfortable. It really burns. After that, this is usually not considered a super painful procedure. It's usually more annoying, like a bad sunburn and raw skin, but not something that requires a lot of pain medication. Most people will just be taking probably Tylenol if they're having more discomfort after those first few hours. Now, it's possible that your expectations won't be met as far as results go. And for deeper lasering, your skin's going to look worse for a few months, and you're going to wonder, what the heck did you do this for? It's really common for people to develop more acne, and you're going to see a lot of remodeling of your skin for up to several months after your laser procedure. So early on, people may be disappointed with their results, and this should get improved as time goes by and your skin has had a chance to heal. It also may be that you need a series of treatments in order to gain the results that you're after. Again, if you have more severe acne scars or wrinkles, it's going to take multiple treatments to address these. If your skin texture has very mild wrinkling in it, you could expect to see some marked improvement and maybe some resolution of some of these wrinkles with each treatment that you do. Now, we really never consider anything in plastic surgery that has to do with aging as being a permanent treatment. You will not have a ticking time bomb that wears off and your skin is automatically back to where it is. So as far as longevity of these procedures, first of all, a lot of it has to do with the skincare and that you use after your procedure to maintain the good results as long as possible. But think of these as more additive procedures where we kind of dial the clock back rather than just giving a treatment that we expect to wear off, like a filler where you do an injection and we know within a certain amount of time it's expected to be gone. So there isn't really an answer of how long this will last. Your skin, the surface of your skin, is kind of like hair growth. It's sort of like asking how long a haircut's going to last. So the better care you take of your skin, the longer your results are going to be maintained. But we expect that, like with healthy lifestyle choices, ongoing treatment of your skin is the way to get the best result possible.